Today we're going to have a discussion about the journey to becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. I love to take journeys. You could call them vacations, but I love to go on journeys. And so I want to ask you, this is where you have to participate, where would you go if you could go on any journey? Where would you go? Grand Canyon. I like Ireland. I'm going to go with that one. First service was Alaska, which I also wanted to go to. So Ireland. I know Shelley wants to go there. She won't burn there, hopefully. So if we want to go to Ireland, okay, we're going to go on a journey to Ireland as a group. We have to make preparations and plans. So what are some things that we have to do to prepare to go on this journey? Got to have a passport, okay? Got to get tickets, so you got to be scouring the internet looking for those plane tickets, right, to find the cheap ones. You don't want to spend the $3,000 ones. You want to get, like, the $1,000 one, right? Okay, what are some other things that you need? Tell your neighbors to watch your house. Maybe have them watch your animals for you if you have them, okay? I know Shelly would be making granola up so she could take it with her because everywhere we go, we take granola. You can ask our students this. We always take it. What else? Got to have a camera so you can capture the thing so you can look back years down the road and go, hey, I remember that trip because I forgot it because I'm getting older. Okay, what else? Okay, schedule time off work. You need some money. What are some other items that we need? Got to have the right clothes. Yes, you can't go with shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt if it's cold in Ireland. I don't know the temperature there, but I'm guessing it's not very warm compared to summer here. But you need the right clothes. You need more than just one pair of clothes. Otherwise, you're going to smell a little bit after a couple days. Okay? You need luggage to take it with you, right? You probably need to set up somewhere to stay, right? You can't just show up and go, well, let's figure this out, right? You need somewhere, some lodging, whether it's a home or a hotel or something like that, right? And then the all-important thing that I am very, very careful to plan on is where I'm going to eat while I'm there. Got to have good food, right? So Liz and I, we're that kind of people. When we go somewhere, man, we get these books. Because we have to have something that can tell me where's a good place to eat. Not just like, let's just try to show up and hope we find a good place, right? Because then you get disappointed. But you got to find good places to eat or things to do, right? You want to know where all the good attractions are. I think that's where the Blarney Stone is, right? I think I'm saying it right. Blarney, see? That's what happens when I have interaction and I don't know stuff. But you got to know where that thing's at to be able to plan how you're going to get there, right? And so all these things take preparation and planning, and it's only for probably a week, right? You got to look at, can I afford it? Is the budget got the money to be able to go? Liz and I know it's weird, but we're already planning our 10-year anniversary, and we're only going on our 5-year anniversary. So we're trying to figure out, like, we got to plan and prepare so we can go. We've talked about going to Banff National Park up in Canada, Alberta, because we just love the mountains. And so we have to prepare and plan these things, and it all costs. Well, today I want to look at what it means to go on the journey of following Jesus and what it costs to follow him. The trip to Ireland is only maybe a week long. The journey of following Jesus is a lifelong. So we have to weigh the options of what it means to follow Jesus. So if you have a Bible, I'd ask that you turn to Luke chapter 14. And if you're willing and able to stand for the reading of God's word. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. The words will be on the screen there. You can follow along. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. But I read all the other translations. They're all really, really close. So it should just sound fine in yours as well. So in verse 25, it reads as such. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who come or who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, I come before you and just ask, Lord, that as we study your word and we look at it, what it means to follow you, that we would just really count the cost and dig deep into your word, Father. I pray that you would be in this place, that you would shut my mouth when I need not speak and open it for your word to come forth, Father. We praise you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name, amen. One of my students on Wednesday joked about getting me a bandana to wipe my forehead because it seems like whenever I speak, I just sweat awful, and getting in a bathtub back here makes it even worse. And so I apologize for that. So as we look at this text, there's a couple things that I think are important that we got to see first before we can understand what it means to be on a journey. Jesus says in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, sisters, and brothers, and even his own life, he can't be his disciple. Now, many of us are sitting here going, wait a second. I know the Bible says that you're supposed to love God and love your neighbor. But then Jesus is saying hate. Those things don't seem to go together. And we would, you know, have people go, see, the Bible contradicts itself. Well, the reality is it doesn't if we really dig deep and we look at what it means. When we dig in and we look at it, and I use a resource because I am not that smart, so I use somebody else. I go to this website called blueletterbible.org. You can search words, you can search passages, all sorts of stuff. And I looked up the word hate because I wanted to know, what does this word mean in the Greek? Because that's what it was originally written in, so that gives us the best meaning. And it means to love less, or it should be, means like, in comparison to our love for Jesus, our family and ourselves should be lower. So essentially it should be Jesus, then my wife, then my children, and on down, right? It kind of goes that way. And so my family can't function well if I'm not loving Jesus. Because if I love Jesus, he's going to help me be selfless versus being selfish. If I'm selfish, usually I'm going to say, hey, I want to go watch TV. I want to go sit downstairs. I want. But the reality is when we look at Jesus, Jesus calls us to abandon everything that we're about and say, I'm putting my family first because that's what Jesus would do. So we love him first, which means I love my family. It helps me to grow. We have to continually examine our life and go, where is the selfish part of me clinging to something, and where is the areas of my life where I need to let go and give it to God and just love on him and know him? And in our family, I know this is how it generally works, and I don't do great at it, so don't hear me trying to boast anything because I fail at it all the time. But when I go home at the end of the day, and I know my wife's been wrangling three kids all under the three and under, that she probably hasn't had a shower yet, and she probably hasn't been able to read her Bible or pray. And so what I need to do is go home and go, hey, hon, how about you go shower and go read your Bible and pray, and I will take care of the kids. That's loving Jesus above myself. And helps her love Jesus, because it's my job as the husband to point her to him. And so that's one aspect. But then Jesus kind of ratchets it up a little bit in verse 27. He says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, in the seminary circle that I live in, a lot of the guys, when I lived on campus, they would do this thing. They'd be like, well, I'm going to go bear my cross, go share Jesus with people. And they would have this like badge of honor, which is weird and not okay. Really what Jesus is getting at here, he's saying the cross of Jesus Christ was meant to kill and hurt people. And so if you're going to bear your cross, you're going to die to yourself and live for Jesus. So the only way you can be my disciples is if you're willing to die to yourself. Now think about this. Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, lived on this world that was sinful, and died. So he gave up comfort, sacrificed, came, he said, I came to serve, not to be served. And so if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ and we're going to follow after him, we have to be like him. So we have to serve others instead of ourselves. And we have to bear our cross, which means to die to our own desires, our own wants, our own pleasures. It's radically different than the world would ever say. The world would say, do what's right for you, what feels good to you. Jesus says, throw that junk out the window and follow me. Think about it. In the beginning of Matthew, when he calls the disciples, they are in the middle of fishing and pulling up nets and doing stuff like that. And he says, follow me. And the next word is, they immediately left and followed him. It wasn't an option to go, well, later on in the Gospels, we see that people go, hey, I need to go do this first. And Jesus says, no, you don't. Just follow me. And so if we're going to be passionate followers of Jesus Christ, we have to let go of ourself and our desires and put Jesus first. And then the remainder of the text basically is saying, who would ever build a tower without first counting the cost? Now, we're in the process of building a building right out this side here. I think one of the plans has doors like right in this area here. We are looking to get blueprints and plans to count the cost of what it's going to take to build that building, because we would just be dumb if we're going to go, hey, it doesn't matter, we're just going to get the blueprints and we're going to go build, right? We've got to count the cost. And Jesus is saying the same thing. If you're going to follow me, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, and you got to count the cost. We have some students that just got baptized who have counted the cost and said, I want to follow Jesus. They are beginning the journey of their life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, I think there are four spiritual markers of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not exhaustive. It's not complete. You may have some other ones, and I'm all for having other ones, but these are the four that I think are very, very important, and they're not in any particular order. But the first one is that a spiritual marker is that you are having an intake of the Bible. So you are reading the Word of God. You can't follow Jesus if you don't know what he tells you to do, okay? So we have to be reading the Bible. Now, I don't stand here today to try to shame anyone or put anyone down or tell you you're not doing good enough. My job right now and my goal right now is that we would be encouraged to dig into these things and seek these things and be challenged to go further on the journey. Because how many of you go on a journey to Ireland, you get all the way there and you go, you know what, I'm just going to sit at the airport because this is as far as I want to go on that journey. None of us. We want to go on the full journey. And the same thing is true when we're going to be a follower of Jesus. We have to continue forward in the journey. And so Bible intake is number one. Number two is prayer. Now, prayer is one of those things that I think we struggle in because we're like, I don't know what to say. I know when we ask students to pray for the offering or even, you know, for the meal back there on Wednesdays, they're like, oh, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can pray in front of people. And I always tell them, one, no one will ever make fun of you for praying, because I'm sure there's some strange punishment for that, because we're praying to the Heavenly Father, right? Get some godly spanking or something. But no, God wants us to talk to him. God wants us to pray to him. And you know what the beauty is? We have the Psalms, which are full of prayers of David and a bunch of other people that essentially teach us how to pray. And then we have Matthew chapter 6. We have the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? We have this model. We don't have to repetitively say it and think that it's Catholic. It's teaching us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's basically saying, God, you are so glorified and so magnificent and so wonderful. We want to just glorify you and honor you. Thy kingdom come. Father, we ask that you would help, that people would come to know the truth of the gospel, and that you would continually be advanced day in and day out, right? So we have models of how to pray. There's nothing fancy or special. You don't have to have fancy words, right? You can even use, this is the key, you can use the Bible to help you pray. And so you can get Bible intake and prayer at the same time, right? So you can look at, say, let's take, for instance, verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Father, I pray that I would put myself to death and that I would follow after you and do what you call me to do and be obedient to all that you've called me, right? So we're praying what the word says. Real simple, real easy. I've got a book called Pray in the Bible. It's real small. I like those kind of books because I don't like to read big, thick ones. But we can pray the Bible, so we're taking in the Bible, praying the Bible, and that's the first two spiritual markers of a true disciple of Jesus. The second one is kind of a combination of being active in your community and service. So I would say, like sheep, if there's a sheep off in the distance by itself, you can guarantee a wolf's going to find it. But when they're together with the shepherd, usually They don't get taken down, right? So if we're in community together, we're able to grow and sharpen each other and have that comfort that helps us be encouraged. Because sometimes when we're alone, we get beat up. We get reminded of all of our junk in life, and we're like, man, I can't do this. But we can encourage one another. Just like writing letters to college students, hey, be encouraged. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? We can encourage them. We can encourage one another. And then we have to serve. So Jesus, like I said earlier, came to serve, not to be served. Do you know one of the struggles is finding people who are willing to serve? I know it's like, well, I really need to come here. And I am not saying that you shouldn't come here and hear the word, but I'm also saying we need to serve in other areas, whether it's during Sunday in the preschool or in the Sunday school portion or on Wednesday with Team Kid or some other aspect. But I just think we need to be serving one, our community, our churches, and you will ask anyone that serves, they will tell you that they are always blessed by serving. It is an aspect that is marked by a follower of Jesus because Jesus came to serve and not be served. And then the fourth one, and this is the one I think that most of us struggle with, is sharing the gospel. A true disciple of Jesus Christ desires to give the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I wasn't in here for Allie's children's time, but I'm guessing, I know we heard and I talked about it. It was the three circles, right, Allie? Okay, and the three circles is a tool that our students learned this past summer. Really funny. Myself and Luke have both taught the three circles with our students, and none of them remembered it when we were at camp. They're like, I don't remember that at all. Why do I do this? But I know that they got passionate and on fire, and Bruce has talked about when we got back, man, we stopped at a gas station in Cameron, and they went and shared with some people there, and then they got home, and they shared with family and friends. Maybe they shared with you. But we want to use that tool to help share the gospel. Maybe you got a different tool, a better tool. I'm all for sharing the gospel. I don't care what tool you use. I don't care if you got Romans Road or you're going to use some other thing. But getting out there and sharing it. But we can't do that if we're not taking in the Bible and we're not praying and we're not in the community, right? We got to have those first three to be able to do the fourth one. And if you want an opportunity to do that, we are actually going to, at the Northwest Missouri Fair, we're going to have a booth, which I have been failing at. I need to turn in my form, which I think was supposed to be turned in weeks ago, but pray Josh has grace on me to turn it into him. So we can get a booth, so we can have the opportunity to share the gospel. What we're going to do is we're going to get those old school Baptist fans, at least I think they're Baptist. I've just been in a Baptist church my whole life, probably any church. But the fans, before we had air conditioning that you would fan yourself with, we're going to get those blank slate. We're going to share the three circles with people and give it to them and love on them and care for them, right? So we're gonna share the gospel in our community at the fair. So those four things, and like I said, there's probably other ones that you could have, but those are the kind of the four core markers of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so we have to be, like I said, growing those things. Now, there's another passage that I want to use. I misquoted it in the first service, so I'm going to read it from the actual Bible so that way I don't mess up. Okay, Philippians 2, verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, it's one of those passages that we're like, wait a second. I'm supposed to work out my salvation, but God does the work. And you're all this conundrum of a feeling, right? Well, I read this blog recently that I think will help us understand what it means to be a disciple. And understand this passage. And so we generally have two types of disciples. We have the first section, those that work, right? So we're going to call this the rowboat, right? Any of you guys ever been in a rowboat? You know, it takes lots of this power, right? You're like, man, my shoulders are sore and I can't feel good. I remember when I was a kid, I used to row a lot on my grandparents' lake. So you do lots of rowing and you keep working, but you only get as far as your arms will take you, and eventually you just slow down. Well, then there's the second type. That's the speedboat type, right? You jump in, you put the key in, you start it up, you hammer down the throttle, and you zip across the lake in 2 seconds. And you're like, awesome, I didn't do any work. I let the motor do it all. That's the God did the work, right? Let go and let God kind of a mentality. But I think you got to take those two and actually bring them together. And you bring them together with a sailboat. Because a sailboat requires that you put the sails up and you get everything angled and lined up just right. But you can't go anywhere unless you got wind, right? And the really cool thing, so when I was reading this article, his name's Michael Kelly, he's the guy that wrote it. Really cool. When you look at the word Holy Spirit, when you break it down in the Greek, it means divine wind. So we're in a sailboat. We're getting our sails set up right by reading the Bible, by praying, by being in the community, by sharing the gospel. We get our sails just right, and we let the wind of the Lord blow us wherever he desires us to and use us how he wants us to use us. And so as we look at what it means to be a disciple, we got to prepare, because nobody shows up to a game unprepared. No one shows up to teach a class or preach a sermon without the preparation, right? You've got to have preparation. And so the preparation is reading your Bible, praying, being in the community, and sharing the gospel, and allowing God to work in your life, preparing you for the time that he's going to go, hey, I got a job for you. Now, some of us here have been on the journey for a long time, and I want you to be encouraged to know that God is still working on you, right? It's a never-ending process, so we have to continually, one step in front of the other, keep walking in Christ's likeness and growing. And so maybe there's an area in those four things you're like, you know, I really need to step up my game in the prayer aspect. I want to do better in that. And so you start working at that, right? Maybe it's, you know, I struggle at sharing Jesus. It's probably one of the most scary things that any of us do. The interesting thing is, the more you do it, kind of gets a little easier. And as you practice more and more, you just got to know that God is in control. And if you mess up the words, it's okay. I don't know how many times I step up here to preach, and I think I know what I'm going to say, and then it all gets changed. And two services makes it even more confusing for me. But God is going to continually work in us and help us get better. For over the last 2 years, for me, I've probably preached 12 times. I'm still getting better at it every day, right? I'm working at it. For some of us here today, maybe we've never started the journey, never begun to follow Jesus. And you're like, I don't have a clue what that even means. I don't have a clue what it means to count the cost. I don't have any concept for that at all. And so when we talk about the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ, what we're talking about is that Jesus Christ, God himself, came out of heaven, came to earth, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, never sinned, yet was tempted in every single way that you and I have been tempted. He then willingly climbed onto the cross and paid the debt for our sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means we all are sinners. None of us are exempt. But Jesus said, I love you so much. I care about you so much. I'm willing to give up my comfort, my home, and come here and die for you so that you can have life. And then he was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, God raised him to life to conquer death. That's what, when we talk about what the gospel is, that's what we're talking about, is the good news of Jesus Christ. And we got to get excited about it. And I would love to have a conversation with you if you're like, you know what, I have some questions about what that means to be a follower of Jesus. I have some questions what it means to be a disciple. I want to know more. Come talk to me. You don't have to, in a little bit, we'll have an invitation. You don't necessarily have to come up here. I know it's scary and sometimes not always the most easy place to come to talk to somebody. That's okay. I am always available. I will make my schedule free if you want to have a conversation about what it means to follow Jesus. And maybe you're a follower and you're like, hey, I need some help too. I want to be a resource to help you. I don't think I know everything, but I think God's equipped me to help other people follow Jesus as I work with students. My desire is that you would live life to the fullest that God has for your life. And so wherever you're at on your journey, whether you started the journey and you took a nap, sat down or something, and you want to get back at it, hey, let's do that. Maybe you want to start the journey for the first time ever, like these students did in the baptistry. They accepted Christ and they followed in baptism, which is just a symbolic representation of what Christ has done in their life. And so I pray that this day, we would glorify God and just grow closer to him, whether it's starting the journey or continuing down the journey. Be encouraged to keep at it and keep loving the Lord and seeking him with all your heart. I pray that you would join us on the journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I come before you this morning just asking, Lord, that you would watch over us, guide, lead, and direct us. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any here that need to start the journey of following Jesus, that today would be the day, Lord, that they would either come during the time of invitation or grab me after service or call me this week. Lord, I pray that we would just be obedient followers of Jesus Christ, that we would desire your way and not ours. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name and to his glory we pray. Amen.